I'm happy to be here with you this evening. It's been a while since I've been to Fourth Avenue. I'm not sure what the committee had in mind when they gave the title. My title this evening is The Blessings and Challenges of City Church Life. But we're going to take a look at Scripture and see if we can find some answers to the blessings and challenges of church life. My mind went down the channels. People come to church. You know, there's a lot of people in church. Sometime today, there was a lot of people in church. Why did they come to church? What did they come for? What are the blessings they were expecting? They didn't come for nothing. What were the blessings they were expecting? Then I had to think about the fact that church life comes with costs. You know, sometimes people run from church life to avoid its costs. I know some people that do not hold a driver's license. I know some people who do not hold a driver's license because they fear what can happen in a motor vehicle as they're driving down the road and all the accidents that occur on the highways. They possibly spare themselves from some of the dangers of the highway, but they also fail to receive some of the blessings of being able to get around. And we have the same choices we make as we think about church life. You know, many of the things that are the curses can also be the blessings. And I think we'll see that as we go along. You know, because that party refused to drive a car, they had to make other choices. It wasn't just simply that they could put this out of their life. They had to make other choices. You know, are they going to use a train instead? How are they going to get around? Are they going to use a bicycle on the roadway? What are they going to do? And each one comes with its own set of dangers, with its own set of challenges. First part of the message, I would like to hear from you interactively. You know, what are the blessings that you're looking for in church life? Let's hear some of them. What are the blessings you're looking for in church life? Yes. Thank you. A body of believers that brings accountability. You know, that's the very thing that some people flee from. But it's a blessing. What other blessings do we receive in church life? Are we looking for in church life? Yes.
Inspiration.
Inspiration. That's right. Inspiration from God. You know, we believe as we gather together with the common interests of learning of God that we can receive inspiration from Him. What other blessings?
A community to share life with.
That's right. A community to share life with. Very good. What other blessings do we look for in church life?
Encouragement.
Encouragement, yes. You know, we're not always up. Sometimes we're feeling down, and when we are, who's going to encourage us? What other blessings are we looking for in church life?
Friendship.
Again? Friendship, yes. Thank you.
Stability.
Stability. I like what I'm hearing.
Opportunities for obedience.
Opportunities, back here.
Conversion.
Conversion, that's right. You know, in church, if we can find what it means to be a born-again believer and live it out, we should be able to find it in church. What else?
Being convicted.
Conviction. That's another one we so often run from. But it's a blessing. You know, if the Spirit wasn't working, we wouldn't face that conviction, but neither would we face the blessing of the peace that comes when we respond to conviction. Okay, I think we could go on. I want to read one verse from Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3:21 says this, unto him, and this is in the middle of a very common benediction. It's talking about to God, God the Father, unto him, God the Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So what is the purpose of the church? It is to bring glory to God through the work of Christ Jesus. And as we go through and look at the blessings and challenges of church life, we're going to see how Jesus Christ is the very means of bringing glory through the church. No, the church bringing glory through Jesus to God. I'm going to look at these in the inverse order of the title so we can end on the positive note. We're going to start out with the challenges of church life. Next main point will be the challenges as found in the Bible. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. I had to think of Paul and the various letters that he wrote to some of his churches. Some of them weren't doing so well. There was a lot of challenges. Some of them he had a lot of commendation for. There was a lot of blessing. And I'd like to follow through the pattern that as we work through the challenges, we can find the blessing on the other side of the challenges. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1 at this time. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Okay, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he has a lot of admonition for us here on church life. First thing I want to use, just kind of as a springboard for a discussion and challenges, is verse 2. We have in our congregation a brother of Catholic background. Sometimes when the going gets tough, he says, well, I'm not a saint. And I have to remind him, according here to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, we are saints. We are saints. If you've given your heart to God, regardless how much you struggle in the flesh, if you're allowing God to direct your life, you are a saint. Now, I'm going to come back to that illustration in a little while. Look at verse 10 with me. Paul warns against divisions. In a church, divisions is a challenge. We are all unique personalities. We all have some of our own thought processes. And the devil would like to use them to create division, to create brother against brother, sister against sister, or family against family. He doesn't really care as long as there's division. So one of the challenges in church life is division. We all have a tendency to think differently. I'm making the assumption, based on the title, that we're talking about a church that welcomes anybody with a heart to follow God. And that brings together people of differing backgrounds. Now, there are many, many things that we face in church life that when we sit around as brothers and discuss, there'll be a brother on this side, there'll be a brother on this side, and there'll be brothers with different viewpoints all around the circle. The devil would like to use that to create division. Some of that comes from differing church backgrounds, back to that illustration that I just gave. You know, in the Catholic setting, a saint is somebody who has excelled and somebody to be looked up to. But as we look at it from the Bible, a saint is somebody that recognizes the call of God on their life. And that's any Christian that is out to answer the call of God on their life. Another thing we encounter is cultural differences. You know, somebody that comes from where we are there in New York, right around the area of the church, we have a lot of Afro-Americans, blacks, and we have a lot of Latinos. And then we have several families of our families that come in with more of the German background mindset. And each one of those groups can tend to think inside of their own box of normal. Take, for example, what's the proper way to welcome guests? We Germans do not know how to welcome guests, according to the Latinos. And you know what? I think they're right. I think they're right. If you watch them, they're very hospitable. They're very open and friendly. Nobody escapes their eyes without some kind of friendly greeting. In my upbringing, it's pretty easy to have a mental load and hurry past two people to target somebody that you needed to share something with. But that's not welcoming. An example of a difference in cultural backgrounds. You know, another challenge we face in church life, and very possibly you face here, is a difference in thought process due to your living environment. You know, if you live in the city, you might say there's a different set of survival skills than if you live out in the rural countryside. And it has a way of developing a different way of thinking. Differences. Are we going to allow these things to create divisions? Verse 11 goes on to talk about contentions. I see a division escalating when I look at contentions. Are we going to allow these points to be points of contention? Am I willing to accept that what is normal and right to me might not be the normal and right for somebody else? Now, I'm not saying that in the context of the Word of God. The Word of God is always right. I'm saying that in the context of cultural things, backgrounds. We can come with two different pairs of glasses. Looks completely different for one versus the other. We're going to read a couple of verses from Matthew 18. I have 2 points that I want to pull from there. Matthew 18, verses 12 to 17. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 1. Matthew 18, verse 12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. These verses highlight two very key things that often happen, that we often observe in church life. The first one is the stray. You know, how many times have you watched somebody in a church that's clearly looking outside for greener pastures? And after a while, you see less vibrancy in the church. And after a while, you see less attendance. And after a while, they're off to doing something else. The stray. And I think there's a couple scenarios, church life scenarios, that can cause some of this. You know, sometimes a stray is just simply seeking greener pastures. One individual that I'm very acquainted with, as I observe his life, we've had many frank discussions on this subject, he clearly comes across as wanting, and understand me right when I say this, eternal security. In other words, when he reaches eternity, he wants to be on the right side. But there's other things that evidently mean a lot to him. For a while, he's going to church. And then all of a sudden, he misses a while. And after a while, he's back at it again. And then he's missing a while. He strays. He goes on, off, leaves the flock, does other things for a while. And then somebody finds him, or the Spirit brings him back in one way or another. Another thing I think about, one of the challenges of city church life is there are a lot of pressures around. For many years, I was in a congregational setting where we were, the church was back a driveway. We met. Sometimes we brought others in to visit. But by and large, it was the same group that was meeting from Sunday to Sunday. In our city church setting, there's an interesting dynamic. It doesn't really matter if you gathered for a Christian service. You know, somebody else might come to your front door, which is the public sidewalk, with the whole goal of swaying you in your thought processes. Maybe it's not about Jesus, or maybe it's an argument about Jesus dying on a tree or a cross. Whatever it is, they're there to distract. What effect do these things have on church life? It's one of the challenges. Another practical challenge, I think, and this is still some practical thoughts under the idea of strays, is the pressures on family life. Is my family important enough to me that they receive the edification, the teaching, the training, the time that they need? Or I'm going to raise the question, am I that focused on church function and other parts of church life that they're neglected? One of the challenges of church life. The other thing I see here in Matthew 18 is interpersonal relationship challenges. You know, wherever you have a lot of people together, that is where, let me back up, wherever you have people that are closely knit together, that is often where the interpersonal relationship challenges show up. You know, how can your spouse be your best friend and your worst enemy? We have the same thing in church life. Sometimes the people that are closest to you are also the ones that hurt you the most. One of the challenges of church life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to be coming back to these three passages in the next section. 'Lack of time, I think I'm just going to call attention to the individual verses in this passage. 1 Corinthians 12, 5, and 6, and there are diversities, differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. One of the challenges in church life is we tend to function differently than each other. You know what? What excites me might not excite you. Or maybe you're visionary and have lots of great new ideas. And I'm the steady that's just trying to propagate what's going already. We function differently than each other. Jump ahead to verse 26. Another challenge of a close-knit body. Verse 26 reads like this, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." If there's suffering in the body, it hurts me. That is one of the challenges that we face in church life. There's humans, there's pain, and I share that pain. On the flip side, when there's rejoicing, I share that rejoicing too. Verses 27 to 31, I won't read all of them, but it's talking about how God took the different members of the body and placed them where he wants. One of the challenges of church life is that our gifts vary. And somebody may be more gifted at something than what I am. In fact, it's a given. Somebody's going to be more gifted in some areas than what I am. It's a challenge. Okay, now flip back to 1 Corinthians 1. And let's go back to the blessings. Verse 9. The first blessing I see is the fellowship of Jesus Christ. What greater blessing can you have in church life than fellowship of Jesus Christ? Why fellowship of Jesus Christ? Christ is the founder of the church. Christ is the one that has walked the road ahead of us. Christ is the one who can give us the answer to anything we're facing. The fellowship of Jesus Christ is a real blessing in the church. Verse 10. It talks there in the latter part of that verse about being joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That is another blessing of church life. You know, we talked about the challenges, the divisions and the contentions. But if we work through those, we come through with the blessing of being joined together. And joined together even tighter than we were before. It's one of the blessings of church life. Being joined together like the world does not know. I talked earlier about how cultural differences or background differences, religious background differences, can be so prone to bring out, to accentuate differences. But you know what? When you blend those, when you learn to blend those, you have something even stronger. Something much stronger than a congregation that's all of German origin or of Latino origin or whatever it is. You have something much stronger as you can learn from each other and blend your differences. Verse 18, And I just love this one. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, that is a blessing of church life. The power of God. Can I experience the power of God individually? Yes, I can. But you experience it to a dynamic in church life that you won't experience it individually. You know, as I come and make myself accountable, and as people open up and speak into my life, it brings some things like we talked about, stability. It brings a genuine conversion experience. It helps these things. It brings the power of God. And I just marvel when I think about that, how God will reach down into the lives of a group of humans that in the grand scheme of his universe are less than the dust of the balances. And yet, he will instill into them, if they have open hearts, he will instill into them his power. That's so wonderful. Verse 20. Well, verse 18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You know, in church life, that is where wisdom is found. And you know, the more you allow yourself to be open to God and to allow God to embark you in faith on journeys that you don't know the end of, the more you're going to learn the wisdom of God. You know, as I look at our human churches, let me say that differently. As I look at our churches of Jesus Christ that are made up of humans and all the challenges that they're fraught with, if I let my mind wander, I have to just wonder what a church is going to look like. I don't know if we can even call it a church in eternity, but the perfect. The perfect group of Christ followers that's worshiping around his throne, and all they've learned and are able to manifest to God as all they've received from God. I'll summarize it like this. What would a church look like if we could see all the wisdom of God without all the challenges? And that's something to strive for. It really is. The wisdom of God. Matthew 18. I'm going to read three more verses there. Matthew 18. We're going to read verses 18 to 20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I cannot fathom the depth of these verses. I do not understand the depth of these verses. It says here, in very plain English, that heaven is moved by what happens among the followers of Christ on earth. That is one of the huge blessings of church life. Heaven itself is moved by what happens among Christ's followers here on earth. You might say there's an established power in heaven as we follow Christ here on earth. The blessing of church life is that we together move heaven itself. It also tells us here in these verses that where Christ's followers gather, that is where God is. Stop and think about that a little bit. God is here tonight because followers of God gathered here. He's interested. He came to join in our midst here tonight. God's presence is brought here because of Christ's followers, because of the church gathering together. 1 Corinthians 12. I know I skipped over this before, but I'm going to read the passage this time because we really need to get the picture of how a properly working body works together and the blessing it is. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, but much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." This passage illustrates beautifully how a body can work together. It talks about how we have a collection of gifts, ultimately for one calling. We have a collection of bodily members. You know, if I had a failed bodily member this evening in my physical body, if I had a bad foot, I'd probably be carrying a crutch. If I had eye issues, I would probably be wearing glasses. If I completely lost eyesight, you know, I would have a complete capacity that would very much limit me. So it is in the body of Christ. You know, if we were all the hands that could be active in doing things, and there were no eyes with a vision, there were no feet to steadily take us along, doing the same thing after time after time, we would have a very unbalanced body. So as I look at the collection of spiritual gifts, it gave a set of gifts here. But I would like to say we need the visionary. We need the evangelist. We need the steady. We need the song leader. We need just fill in the blanks. We need each one of those. Each one is a contribution to make the complete body. Verse 6 says, the same God working in all of us. Verse 7 says, all having the same spirit. This is what makes the body work and function together in harmony. If we take our message from the same God working in all of us, allow ourselves to be directed by the same spirit. And yet verses 20 to 26, as it talks about a member lacking and others having to take over, talks about an interdependence in each other. That was something I learned some lessons on in recent years. And as we relate to people there in the city, there was something that an interdependence on some of our non-Christian neighbors did in relationships that nothing else could have done. And so it is in the body of Christ. An interdependence brings about a beauty that nothing else can bring about. We've been focusing this on largely on a congregational level, but I'd like to stretch our minds just a little bit as we look at the workings of the body. Hit these same 4 points again as you look at the church at large. There is a collection of gifts. You're not every congregation that you look at across the U.S. It's going to have the same gifts. Not all the Christians are going to have the same denominational name attached behind them. Can we recognize that each life that is out there directed by Christ is a gift, a member of the body, to make the body of Christ? Every individual that's out there directed by Christ has the same God and the same Spirit working in them. And I think as humanity, we have a lot to learn on the subject of interdependence. And I don't promote ecumenicalism, but my heart cries that we can recognize what others do for Christ. There are individuals very near and dear to me that would not be worshiping today in a setting like this if it wasn't for other congregations that got them on the right trail, that brought them to know Jesus. Blessings and challenges of church life. I want to let us with this thought. Each challenge that is faced, if we allow to God to work in and through us, can be the blessing that strengthens us for the future. God bless you.